So what I would like to do, just before I receive questions and comments or sharing, just to give you some of the direct words of the Buddha that for some of you will maybe be interesting or useful and others maybe not, but for those also who are interested, the seven factors of awakening are enumerated in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, which is the great discourse on the foundations of mindfulness, to translate that, which is something you can find online or in some good translations these days, as if you're more scholastic orientation. And the seven factors of awakening or enlightenment, as sometimes translated, are also explored in considerable depth in the Pali Canon, the Buddha's sort of the compendium of the Buddha's teaching in the Samyutta Nikaya. Some of you don't need to know about it, but just for those, it's one of the books about this fat, two parts, in which there's a whole collection of his teachings on this topic. If it's something you want to pursue and explore, there is no shortage of material. So in the Samyutta Nikaya, the great book, and it's the section on the seven factors, and there's any number of different things the Buddha had to say about it. But what I want to say from that is, where the Buddha talks about contemplating the seven factors of enlightenment, he says, how does one do so? Here, monks, he says, or here, friends, if the enlightenment factor of mindfulness is present in himself, a monk knows that it's present. If the enlightenment factor of mindfulness is absent in himself, he knows that it is absent. And he knows how the unarisen enlightenment factor of mindfulness comes to arise, how it comes to be. And he knows how the complete development of the enlightenment factor of mindfulness comes about. And the same then with regard to all those states. So it's the knowing the presence, the absence, and starting by seeing that to notice the conditions that support the arising and the deepening of these qualities. And that happens just by watching. And yet also watching with the interest to understand. So that's one piece. The other piece I want to say, which is when we're talking about this practice and this teaching and this really whole body of transformative work, and we talk about the seven factors of awakening, and I just alluded to this very briefly at the beginning, I think it's really important that we do take to heart the sense of, or bring ourselves into contact with the sense of possibility. That we don't too quickly rush to assume that this is something to do with somebody other than me. Because what we're talking about, and a couple of people said, well, I named them again, mindfulness, sati in the Pali, mindfulness, investigation of the way things are, and looking at what's going on, investigation, curiosity, dhamma vichaya in the Pali. It's been a long day. Energy, effort, virya. Joy, rapture, piti. Those three being, after mindfulness, which is sati, did I say that? Those three being the arousing factors. Then the tranquilizing, calming, or cooling factors being calm or tranquility, which is pasiddhi in the Pali. Concentration, focusedness, gatheredness. Concentration, common translation there. Samadhi, or samatha. And the last, equanimity, which some of you will recognize is also one of the qualities of the, in a way, the divine abidings of the heart, one of the qualities the heart can rest in a state of peace with the way things are. Upekkha. These are the seven factors of awakening. And that all of these are things that we can notice. And we can have, and all of us have probably had the chance over today to have noticed each of those seven, I imagine, maybe, in their presence or their absence. And if that's the case, if you can say, I noticed this one and this one and this one, and I'm pretty sure I noticed that one wasn't there and that one wasn't there, we only notice, we can only tell that something isn't there because we know what it is. We only know what it is, not because I've been talking about it, because we have the experience of it to refer to. All these things are within our experience. Their fruition, their development, their maturation, and their balancing is within our capacity. For each of us, for you, that means you, that means you, that means you. I'm not looking at any one person, but I am actually looking at each of you in that you. Yeah, this process, this journey, this unfoldment of awakening, this revelation of freedom and peace is, it's possible. It's available for us. But it requires sometimes a little bit of application and dedication. Actually, quite a lot. But what else to do with one glass? Anyway. Do you have any questions or anything you'd like to share of your experience or what you noticed? And
If I can follow on from that, because you said, you know, talk about the things that you noticed and what your response was to that, to noticing something or noticing something was absent.
Yeah.
And several times today, I noticed something and I thought, oh, it's that old thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a sense of impatience.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointment. I felt like I was on one of those hamster treadmills.
There's me going round and round again. I've been here enough times. Why am I here again?
I'm here again, and it doesn't feel any different to what it felt 10 years ago. Yeah. I'm exaggerating, but yeah.
Except there's more of that sense of again. And
yes, that's right. And that lack of progress.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So. Sometimes what's most difficult for us about a difficult experience is the sense of how we reflect that back on oneself and form a conclusion that I have therefore failed to progress or learn or grow. It's a very common and understandable thing that we find ourselves again and again in similar situations. And it's easy to wish that we wouldn't, or think that we shouldn't, but mostly we do. And so there's something about seeing, oh, maybe it's not a kind of going to be a quick thing like this, that I just see it and get over it. I was saying to someone in one of the discussions in the room next door, how one of the most difficult things for us is when we see ourselves enacting a pattern that we know isn't skillful, we know doesn't help, and we're quite aware that we're doing it, but we don't yet know how to not do it. And what's really important there is to not give ourselves a hard time for it. Because clearly there's something going on we haven't yet understood. And we need to actually be willing to see what's here. So rather than being disappointed that it's here, it's like, great, it's here so I can understand something. I don't like it, but it's here so I can understand something. Doesn't mean that I haven't understood lots all the way, that I haven't been learning about this all the way, but this might be one of the big ones for me, or it might be one of the big ones for everyone, and everyone has to learn this one. Yeah.
So that's a big thing. But in that moment, that's which I'm not sure about. In that moment, when I notice the absence, I get disappointed at the absence of the particular quality or whatever it happens to be. And I think, I'm disappointed. I'm dissatisfied.
Yeah.
But then what? What do I do with that?
Well, you could notice there's dissatisfaction. Oh, that's a lack of equanimity. Using the framework we're talking about, dissatisfaction in one sense is describing a positive positive negative word. I mean, it's a word for the absence of equanimity, or the absence of feeling okay with how things are. Yeah? So one could notice that. I mean, one could also notice the tendency to identify with it and say, I am feeling dissatisfaction because I am back in this place and I've been here before. But maybe it wasn't you exactly as you are now, or this as you are exactly showing up who was here, because it wasn't. At the very least, the one thing is different, that now you've been here one more time. You can't be the same. It's like a river doesn't stay the same for a moment, even though it's flowing through the same spot. Thinking, you know, why am I flowing through the same spot? Because there's a groove and water goes downhill. It's going to keep happening. But it's like, okay, so here am I. Often, because we're so fixed in the sense of here am I again and I don't want to be, we aren't actually really present with where we are. We're present with where we have been and where we don't want to be, which is not here. So if I say, whoa, I'm right here, and even the word old or again, it's never the same the second time, or the 15th, or the 500th. It isn't actually the same, but we're not relating to the experience, we're relating to the memory, and that doesn't change. So we don't learn anything new, because we've already rejected the experience. We all do this. It's embarrassing to see that even when we actually know, and most of us here could tell me what I'm just saying, we still do it. So there's a lot of humility required in practice. It's like to say, how embarrassing. I'm not in charge of this thing. It doesn't do what I want. It shows up in ways that cause pain for me and others. But I do care about this. And so let me bring that care for. That's something I haven't spoken about because it's not one of the factors of awakening. It's obviously the seven factors are a limited picture in that case. Because, you know, why are we doing this in the first place? Because we care. Because suffering isn't actually what we would choose if we could choose. So,
and I think that leads me off into despondency, and kind of a sense that you know, why would one want to meditate unless one wants to improve one's life? If there was no sense of improvement, then why do you want to do it?
Well, that's a good question. And you know, if we come to something out of a view that there's something wrong with us that needs to be fixed, no matter how many, or something that's not there that needs to be improved, it's easy for wherever we end up to still be subject to that same perception. That's one side. At the other side, of course we do this because we're interested in transformation. Of course we do this because we're interested in freedom. The Buddha didn't say, come along and suffer. There's the first noble truth, suffering, and there's a second noble truth, more suffering, and the fourth noble truth, still suffering, and the fifth noble truth is, you know, there's four other truths about suffering. Yeah? It was suffering, the cause of suffering, the end of suffering, and the path there too. But sometimes we struggle with just good old number one. There is suffering, dissatisfactoriness. Birth, aging, sickness, death, sorrow, pain, grief, lamentation, and despair. Being associated with what we don't like, being separated from what we do like, not getting what we want. Is it one of those things that you're encountering?
How did you guess?
And it happens, doesn't it? Sometimes we're slow learners. But on the other hand, maybe we've got plenty of time. At another level, we don't actually have much time at all. In another way, we do. Of us when we listen. And so I'm glad that what was offered spoke to you. So just a couple of brief things I want to say then to conclude before I hand it back to the organisers. Great that you came along today and spent your day doing this. There's a lot of other things you could have done. Keep doing it. In whatever ways and forms it can be part of your life to engage with these qualities in the form of formal meditation, but equally just noticing how and where they show up in your life or where they don't, without judgment of or analysis of, but just noticing. Actually, they all can start to come to bear more fully on life, on really the process of waking up, of transforming, of liberating the potential of our life and of each other's lives. So I really wish you well in continuing in your practice, in your journeys, in your lives. I know there's a lot that goes on here in London these days, and more, and I'm really struck with great both appreciation and joy, in fact, for the sense of how much is here, and looking around, seeing at least one other person who was here the very first time we did this in London. I don't know if there's anyone else. 97, I think. And how much more has grown from it. And so I know some of what you're going to hear is about what else is going on, and that's great that it's all going on. I want to quickly put in a plug for the couple of things I told you not to read at lunchtime that were mine. because I'm teaching a weekend retreat in... I've even forgotten where it is, but it's in the South Downs, and the information is available. I think it's in the Guy House newsletter, and it's going to be circulated. But anyway, I'm just interested to see if people in London are interested in a residential retreat not so far from home, so that's something there. And I just recently, last weekend, taught a walking retreat on Dartmoor, which was absolutely the most exhilarating and fun and challenging also in different ways thing I've done teaching-wise for a while. And there's another one we're going to do in September, so this is a brief advertisement. And there's a lot of other good things happening here, and I look forward to my next time when I'll be back. I think it's in October I'm coming again, so that's great.